a very important thing about Amazon advertising. It's a self-serve ad platform. They've made it very easy to use, but sometimes the data that they present to you to help you optimize your campaigns, I think it can give you a misleading picture of how your books are actually doing on the platform.
Hello and welcome to Inside Independent Publishing with IBPA. I'm an independent publisher and your host, Peter Goodman. Today we're going to do things a little bit different in that this conversation is going to be in two parts, but it's a big subject, so I guess that makes a lot of sense. And of course, we're talking about Amazon. And to fill us in with all things Amazon is Ian Lamont. Ian's an award-winning technology journalist, author, and publisher, and he's the founder of i30 Media Corp and In 30 Minutes Guides. He is also a current director and treasurer of the Independent Book Publishers Association, and he serves on IBPA's executive committee. So welcome, Ian.
Hey, Peter. It's nice to be back.
Yeah, and talking about being back, this is actually your second go-round, and I want to interview you because I talked to you last about a year ago, and you gave a great presentation on Amazon Ads, which, of course, is just one little tiny part of all that Amazon is. So in addition to an update on what you told us last year, I think there's a lot more that you have to say about Amazon. So let's get into it. First off, just to kind of set the stage, what is your company's relationship with Amazon? What category of vendor or associate are you?
Yeah, so I have kind of a special status with Amazon, and that's by virtue of running several different programs with them. So many publishers listening to this show will know about Amazon KDP or some other programs such as Amazon Seller or Vendor Central. So I started out by participating as a self-published book author. This is 6 or 7 years ago, using Amazon KDP. But then I morphed into like an independent publisher publishing other people's work, and I started to leverage more and more programs that Amazon makes available to publishers. And that includes CreateSpace, which is now known as Amazon KDP Print, and Amazon Seller, which is not used by many publishers, but I think that there's actually an opportunity there for publishers to use it. And I've talked about this before, I think in the first podcast we did, and also online on my blog and videos. If you go to leanmedia.org, you can see some of that. But then I've been a very active user of Amazon advertising, which I did talk about in our first podcast interview more than a year ago. And there are some changes there. So I'm hoping today I can talk a little bit about some of the changes and some of the things that publishers need to look out for.
Great. Well, where do you want to start? What do you think is the most important thing for IBPA members to know about working with Amazon from your experience?
Okay. So actually, I have a pretty important tip for people, any publisher who used CreateSpace. And CreateSpace is a print-on-demand service that Amazon purchased a long time ago. And many publishers use CreateSpace to create print-on-demand books, which are then sold through Amazon.com and the Amazon mobile app. So this was a huge program. I think it dominated. CreateSpace was perhaps the largest source of ISBNs in the United States that were used on Amazon and in the publishing world. So it was a huge service. But they recently combined it with Amazon KDP, which is Kindle Direct Publishing. And what they've done basically is if you sell Kindle books and then a paperback book, a POD version, it's kind of everything is supposed to be merged under the same Amazon KDP umbrella. And they started the transfers of accounts late last year. It was supposed to be automated, but a lot of people found out that actually there were some hiccups with the transfers. And while most of that has been sorted out, there's a couple loose ends, and I think publishers should know about, whether you belong to IBPA or you're just tuning in for the first time. And basically, this is the main thing to pay attention to. It relates to metadata, and metadata is the data that is associated with your book on Amazon or on any other service, and includes the title, ISBN, subtitle, description, categories, keywords. This type of data that can help automated search engines and other services kind of locate your book or identify what it's about. And on CreateSpace, they only gave you one category on Amazon, and they only gave you five keywords. And a category in Amazon is something like historical fiction. So if you had a historical fiction book on CreateSpace before, now that it's been transferred to Amazon KDP Print, you can add another category, which is huge because this makes it easier for people who are searching within a category to find the book. So let's say you chose the first category, historical fiction. Maybe now with that book, you can add another category, historical fiction, colon Asia, or historical fiction, the Americas, or something like that. So this is that's a big one. And then the other one is the keywords. CreateSpace used to allow only five keywords. Amazon KDP Print allows seven keywords. So when you go into the Amazon KDP Print interface, click on your paperback books and look at the metadata categories and the keywords, and you'll see you'll have a couple blank spaces you can fill in. Absolutely use those free metadata and category selections, because it can help people find your book. It's really important for you to go in and do that yourself, because if you don't do anything, you'll just have the same default CreateSpace metadata you were using before.
So overall, you can see, it sounds like you think this is a beneficial change.
I think it is a beneficial change. And then there's a couple beneficial changes. One is the fact that you get the extra metadata and the categories. And then the second thing is that you can now manage your books, whether they're Kindle or a print-on-demand paperback, through the same interface, which saves people a lot of hassle. I think the Amazon KDP interface is probably more secure than the CreateSpace interface, which had some technical issues before. So I think it's a good thing. And actually, people don't have any choice. If you use CreateSpace, you're going to get migrated to Amazon KDP Print, whether you like it or not.
When you have your book in KDP Print, obviously, it's available on Amazon, and I assume every Amazon entity there is, international as well as domestic. Are other places able to get your book? Are you kind of restricting yourself to the Amazon universe, big as it is?
Yeah, it's true. So Amazon, of course, they like people just to play in their little gardens and to have their products available there, and maybe not in so many other places. And actually, some Amazon programs, including Amazon KDP Select, this is an option within Amazon KDP for Kindle books. Basically, if you select it, you'll get access to Kindle Unlimited and also some marketing programs, but you have to withdraw your ebooks from other marketplaces. So this is kind of an anti-competitive thing that Amazon puts on some of its programs. So one thing I always advise publishers is do not put all of your eggs into one basket. And it's tempting, because Amazon is so big and it dominates the marketplace, to do just that. But I think it's really important to spread out your ebooks and your paperbacks, and if you have them, hardcovers, to other selling options, whether it's retail or it's your own website, or it's another service such as Ingram Spark or Apple Books or Barnes & Noble Press. There's a whole bunch of different options out there. And I think it's really important to spread things around and try to grow those other marketplaces. Because right. If something ever happens to your Amazon account, or who knows, we don't know what's going to happen to Amazon in the future, you may need those other sources of revenue to keep your publishing business going.
Well, I suppose it's easy enough for a publisher to get their EPUBs out onto some of these other platforms. Getting a print book out is another matter, though. If you have your book only on CreateSpace and you tell, a bookstore, retail bricks and mortar independent bookseller, that they can order their book from Amazon, they're going to show you out the door, right? They don't want to do that. So you then really have to get your hard copy on another platform as well. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And if you're a publisher who's working with a distributor, they can help you do that. And they're optimized to kind of work with retailers in other marketplaces to get your books out there. And then I think it's also worth mentioning Ingram Spark. This is another print-on-demand service. I use this as well. I think it's a fantastic way to get your books into other markets you may not have even thought about before, such as library markets or school markets, and also to make it available to retailers who are searching for a book via ISBN, and it will show up. If you're in the Ingram Spark catalog, it will show up when those retailers use their interface, which is called iPage, to find it.
Let's say that's you've got your book there, and now you have to sell it. Do you want to spend a little time talking about the Amazon ads and what changes have occurred since last year?
Yeah, I'll do that. So that's a pretty good thing to start on. So Amazon advertising, it used to be called Amazon Marketing Services. And actually, in the first podcast that we spoke on more than a year and a half ago, that's the term I used, Amazon Marketing Services, or AMS. Now the official name is Amazon Advertising. They made a couple other changes to the program. For instance, headline ads. And these are the ads that you'll see when you search on Amazon. It's the first thing that shows up. There's usually a picture of three books and sometimes a picture of something else at the very top of Amazon search results. Those are now called sponsored brands. And then there's a couple other ad types, sponsored products, Kindle lock screen ads, and product display. So I'm not going to get into the details of how those particular things work. I do have some videos available on leanmedia.org. And of course, if you go to Amazon Advertising, they do have some of their own help resources. But I think it is worth mentioning a very important thing about Amazon Advertising. It's a self-serve ad platform. They've made it very easy to use, but sometimes the data that they present to you to help you optimize your campaigns, I think it can give you a misleading picture of how your books are actually doing on the platform. And just to give you an example, let's say that you have a book that you're trying to promote and you use Amazon advertising campaigns to get it in front of people's eyeballs on Amazon. And they'll start to present some data to you. And the data includes the number of impressions, the number of times people have clicked on the ad, the number of orders that you've received from the ad. And then they use a term called ACOS, or advertising cost of sales, as a measure of how successful the ad is. And basically, what this measures is the percentage of money you're spending divided by the percentage of gross sales on Amazon. So if you sell, let's say, $100 worth of books on Amazon, and you've spent $10 in advertising, it'll give you an ACOS of 10%. The problem with ACOS is it measures Amazon's gross sales. It doesn't measure your net sales or your profit. And Amazon is doing a little bit of a, I don't want to say it's a sneaky thing, but it's just they're giving you a data point to help you make decisions. But the data point is a bit misleading, because let's say that, okay, you've sold $100 worth of books on Amazon, but Amazon is taking $35 or $40 off of that total. So instead of actually being an ACOS of 10%, the ACOS might be much higher than that. And in fact, it's also easily possible for you to have like an ACOS of 30% or 40%, and you're losing money on every book that you're selling. So I think that it's imperative for people using Amazon advertising to really understand what all the data means. And I now advise people who are using Amazon advertising to actually create some of their own metrics to better understand how their money is being spent.
Yeah. I mean, publishers basically have to set up their own spreadsheet, maybe import the data from Amazon, but then they have another column or several columns where they're noting discounts and their own costs and everything. So at the end of the day, they know whether they're actually making any money or not.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not sneaky in the sense that Amazon couldn't possibly know how much it costs you to make your book, but they know full well that if they sell a book to a consumer for $10, they themselves are taking a percentage off the top before you see anything. So that is a little misleading.
It is. And actually, the two metrics that I advise people to create, Amazon is perfectly capable of creating them themselves and showing it to you. I think they don't want to show it to you because it will make you realize, like saying, oh, wait a second, maybe it's not a good idea to be running this particular campaign. And I'll tell people how to do it. It's pretty easy to add these two metrics. Yes, you do need to download data, but Amazon Advertising, there's a little icon in the upper right corner of the screen which lets you download the data that you're seeing on the screen. And then you can just pull it into a spreadsheet such as Google Sheets, which is free, or Microsoft Excel, which many people have on their office computers. Once you get it into either Sheets or Excel, you need to add two columns. The first column shows the conversion rate. And this means of all the clicks that you're getting on your advertisement, how many of them are actually turning into sales? So if you get 10 clicks on your advertisement and that results in two sales, that's a conversion rate of 20%. That's actually a pretty good conversion rate. I think anything over 10% is pretty good. It means that when people are actually coming to your landing page, which is your product page for your book, they like what they see and they're more likely to buy it. So it's easy to generate that piece of data. The other piece of data that's important to know is that spend per sale. This is basically for each sale you have. Let's say that you had those two sales that I just mentioned. If you spent $10 to get those two sales in the same time period, that means the spend per sale is about $5 per book. And then it's up to you to decide whether it's actually worth it to have something, to have that level of spend for a sale. And if you're selling a $40 or $50 textbook, that may be fine. If you're selling a $10 paperback or less, $5 per sale may not be that fine. And what you can do then is you can either try to optimize the ad, maybe adjust the spending level or identify the keywords that are working versus those that are not working. But you can make smarter choices about how to proceed with advertising that particular book.
And you certainly have to know when to end it, right? Because you could just keep pushing it on forever.
Well, so that's an interesting point that you just brought up there. So you can set your advertising campaigns to end after a certain period of time. And I think for certain types of campaigns, like a holiday campaign or Valentine's Day campaign, you do want to set that. You do want to have an end date on that. So if you're selling a romance novels and you want to kind of promote them before Valentine's Day, yeah, you're going to want to have an end date of February the 15th. But for other types of books, you can keep the campaigns going. And you know, one of the things to keep in mind about Amazon, they have so many millions of people coming there every day that you know, if you make a sale in the month of January, and you can keep the advertisement going because that ad will not be stale for the people that are coming in February or March or April and searching on that particular term. So I have a couple campaigns that have been going for years, and it seems to have a good tagline or images or something else that people really like, and it performs well in the system. So I keep those going.
And how do you attract people? You use keywords, right? And is there a strategy to choosing those keywords?
Yeah, so the keywords, it's true. You do need keywords to attract people. There's a couple ways to get them, including some kind of advanced techniques, such as looking how keywords have performed in the past. But one of the easiest ways to get started with keywords on Amazon is just go to Amazon.com. And let's say that you have a book about romance in the 1800s in the Western United States. You can start to plug in keywords into Amazon search engine that are related to that and see what turns up. So you might type a Wild West romance in the Amazon search engine, and then below that it will show some other similar terms that people are searching for. You just basically copy those terms, put them into a spreadsheet or a text file, and then when you create the Amazon advertisement, if it's a type of campaign that accepts your own keywords, you can just paste those right in.
So it's pretty easy then. And overall, you felt that this advertising has been a real boost for your business.
Yeah, I do. I felt that in particular a couple years ago, it was really a great boon to my business. It helped to kind of boost some sales. But in the years since, a couple things have changed. One thing is that because so many people are now using it, so many publishers and other types of sellers are using Amazon ads, the cost for the advertisements have gone up. And the metric I use to measure the relative cost of these ads, I think when I was starting it, the ACOS for all my campaigns was about 11 or 12%. And now it's more like 18 or 19%. And that tells me that this is caused by the bids going up and people getting more competitive with bidding on certain keywords. And unfortunately for publishers like me who sell relatively low price books, this means at a certain point I might be forced out of using Amazon advertising for promoting my books just because I'll need to bid like a dollar or more on the keywords, and it's just not worth it for me at that point. But for other people selling more expensive types of books or really specialist types of books, Amazon advertising, I think, can be an effective way to get your book in front of people if they're not able to find it through organic search. And when I say organic search, I'm talking about people just using Amazon search engine to find something and not and excluding the advertisement. So you might see, like let's say you search for Wild West romance, you might see hundreds of books in the organic, organically listed, and you have to click through many pages to see it. If you're on the first page of organic search results, that's great. People will see your book. But if you're not, then Amazon advertising can really be a way to give your books a little extra attention that they wouldn't get otherwise.
And you can, I guess you can buy your way up to the top if you're willing, if you have the money and you've figured out your costs and can afford it.
Yeah, and some people want to do that, not just in order to boost sales, but also to kind of as a branding play. You know, they want to get their brand out there, or they right. want to announce a series, and they just want to get people seeing it. So they'll get lots of impressions, but maybe the sales are one of several concerns. So it can also be used for branding purposes.
This is the end of part one of our special feature on Amazon with guest Ian Lamont. Thanks very much to Ian, and thanks to you for listening to this edition of Inside Independent Publishing with IBPA. I'm your host, Peter Goodman. Now remember, there's more to this interview about all things Amazon, so be sure to tune in for part two. In part two, we'll be talking about Amazon terms of service, reviews, and how you can stay on Amazon's good side, assuming they have one. Now Ian will be at this year's Pub U in Chicago, giving an Amazon deep dive, where he'll talk about all that he's already mentioned in our two podcasts, plus a lot more. Don't miss it. But if you do, or if you're listening after PubU in April 2019, be sure to come to next year's PubU. And you can subscribe to Inside Independent Publishing on iTunes or other popular podcast platforms. And also be sure to visit the IBPA website at ibpa-online.org. In the meantime, and as my bosses in Japan used to say, let's have publishing fun.